And I don't know if you intended to, but by your presence alone, you're helping me. I'm trying to go to heaven. I'm trying to do what God said. And I tell you, it's a constant battle. And to know that there are other people trying to do the same thing, trying to overcome this world and to put their confidence in God and to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, well, you're blessing me and helping me. And I appreciate the good spirit in which everything was done this morning, the singing and all that was done. Thank you so much for that. I have done something terribly wrong already. Good. Okay, we want to talk about the second chapter of Proverbs now. And if you weren't in the Bible study this morning, let me give you kind of a refresher course of what we looked at. I'm in the wrong place, I'm afraid. I'm in the wrong place. I don't know how that happened. Let me get where I need to be right quick.
Is there anything I can help with?
I think I can get it, partner. Thank you, sir. I messed that up some way, but I'll do that through the week, so don't worry. Now let's see what happens. That's where I want to be. Okay, this chapter is going to talk about the discipline of life and how does a person... We looked at the first chapter and talked about the wisdom that we need to be able to see life properly, to make the right kind of judgment, to get life in balance. Life can get out of balance. And drugs and alcohol and peer pressure, all these things, you feel your life pulling and tugging in every direction. How do you balance this thing called life out? You've only got one life, one soul, one chance at it. How do you get it balanced so you don't wreck it before you get finished with it? The writer's going to help us see how we go about that in the second chapter. And we've already looked at the fact that when we think about parents and their authority and the limitations of it, is that some parents understand when your children are young, you use authority on your children to get them to respect you. But then as time goes on, because of your training and teaching, you have to stop using authority and start using your influence. And you do that because you communicate and you talk to your children and you get in their hearts because of what's in your heart and what you know from what God said. And so parents have to see the value of teaching this kind of information to their children so they can learn how to have a life that is a success. How do you go about that? You see in the paper, on the news, all around you, people crashing and wrecking and making messes out of their life in every kind of way. How does a person go about making success? Well, that's why parents need to teach the Proverbs to their children. Parents need to see this is what your children need. This will equip them and help them so that they can make the right kind of decisions, choose the right kind of friends, look for the right kind of career, set the right kind of goals, think about what you're doing today. Everything is leading you someplace. And so if you can think about it as a young person, this is what you need to know. Parents don't know sometimes what their children need. And this helps us to learn what God wants us to teach our children. It's not the job of the church. The Bible puts on the responsibility of parents the job of training and teaching your children. And especially is that so about the father. The father's been given the leading role. Now, I hate to say it, my mother and father completely failed at that. They just didn't have any regard for God and any regard for what God said. My grandmother was in my life, and she had some respect for God, and she taught me what she knew and helped me in a great way. I don't think she may have had a second grade education, but I believe my grandparents on both sides were some of the wisest people I've ever known. They weren't educated at all. And I've told people that my grandparents, the only book I knew they had in their home was the Bible. And I've said many times, my grandmother who lived with us would say, "Go get the book, go get the book." And I knew what she meant by that. She meant, go get the Bible. She was going to show me something out of the Bible to make me think about what I was doing and the way I was living. And so I appreciate the fact that she thought that away and lived that kind of life. And so some parents never learn what this wisdom is about. They don't learn themselves how to take criticism. And when somebody crosses their track, says something bothers them, they create problems and trouble because they never did learn as a young person to take criticism, take correction. And don't be defensive about that. A wise person will listen and learn and pay attention. And so this book is teaching over and over the importance and the significance of that, and not to make those, we're not saying this to make those who feel bad who failed. Let me say to you about parents or anybody, young people, who made mistakes and done things wrong. I'm not saying any of this to make anybody. I don't want anybody to feel bad about what you've done in the past. That does not matter to me at all. What matters is, what will you do from here on? And I'm trying to say this so not to make somebody feel bad if there's some tragedy or something's happened in your life. I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm saying it for the generations coming up. So the young people that are coming down the road behind us, we're trying to save them a lot of disaster. And so please don't think that this is being said to crush somebody or hurt somebody that may have made some mistakes. Everybody, I've made tremendous mistakes. I don't know why God puts up with me. And I tell people that I'm not a smart person. I never was smart. I'm not educated. I don't legally have a high school education. But I'll tell you, I believe that what God says will carry the day and will carry you through life. And so we just need to learn to listen to God and not to feel bad about all the mistakes we made in the past. So this is really preventive information. Young people are coming along and we're trying to help you see, make some good decisions here, because your life is going to stand and the direction you're going is going to stand. Your future and your destiny is going to stand on the decisions you're making. So that's why we're trying to say these things and trying to say the right kind of words. I mentioned this in the class, that a lot of people don't know how to solve problems. We go up to the problem, we see it, and we glance off and make another problem out of that oftentimes. Some people go up the problem, they see it, and they say, oh, that's too big, and so they just go back and leave it alone. And then other people say, well, I'll just try to go around that problem and let it be. The Proverbs teach you, good people, the key is how do you solve, how do you deal with the problems of life? You have to learn how to solve them. And when you learn to solve the problems in life, they go away. If you have trouble with somebody and you have a clash with them and you don't know how to talk to people and get along and solve the problem, those problems, I've talked to people, a man was in a congregation, 56 years. He carried a grudge with a fella. He had a disagreement when they were seniors in high school. And that had created trouble in that church for 56 years. And I preached a sermon one night and this fella heard it. He went home and called that man that night and told him what the problem was, and they talked it out. And this friend, he said, you said this to me our senior year. And this fellow, he was mad at, said, you mean I was that stupid back then to say something that dumb to you? And he said, yeah, you sure did. He said, I am so sorry. What can I do to get you to forgive me? And the man said, I started crying. He said, why did it take me 56 years? Why do we do that? We don't have the wisdom to realize what a joy, what a blessing, what a wonderful thing. I tell you what I love about Christianity. It works. And when you clash with somebody and have trouble with them, the Christianity teaches you can get over that. You can put your swords up and lay down your weapons and you can work it out and you can go right back to where you were and that can go away. That's the great thing about the wisdom of the Bible and what God teaches us to do and how to be with each other. And so what we want to do is we want to look at, in this chapter, the way of life. We need to see that the book is going to tell us that there's this roadway that we've got to choose to walk on in life, and there's things that restrict it. If we get off on one side or the other, if we make mistakes and get to one side or the other side of the road, we're going to run off the road and we're going to kill ourselves. And so we want to get on this road and walk this road very patiently, because let me tell you, young people, one of the challenges of being young is you get in a hurry and you make sometimes hasty decisions and you don't think through what will happen and you get in a hurry about marriage or what you're going to do in your life or what you might do. Somebody said, for example, about suicide. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And many times we do that in life. We make permanent decisions over something that is temporary, and we've got to be patient and see. And that's why I tell young people, junior and senior high school, it's the fourth quarter in the ball game. I tell them all the time, calm down, listen to your parents, obey them. You're about to fly away. You're about to get out of here and go to college somewhere, and your parents are probably going to pay the bill, maybe, you know. And so don't lose the game. And parents, don't lose the game in the fourth quarter. Take it easy through that period and be patient and listen to each other and work things out. That's what the book's going to tell us about. And it really is showing us in this chapter that there's a couple things that have to happen. We've got to do, if we're going to have a successful life, we've got to work at it and we've got to wait. As we do the work God tells us to do in this chapter, we've got to wait, because we're not going to get what we want until we go through not only doing what God says, and then having the experiential information. You have to experience life a little bit to learn what it's about. And so if you'll just hang on and be patient, that's what the writer's going to tell us. And notice what is stated about this way of life in the sixth chapter. Notice what the writer says there in verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life. Now notice reproof and instruction. We're talking about correction and discipline here. Good people, this is the way life is. If you can't adjust to that as a young person, let me tell you, you're going to hit every bump in the wall. You're going to hit every hole in the road. You're going to have trouble all the way if you don't learn. You've got to listen to criticism. You've got to take correction. You've got to take discipline. This is the way life is. And we mentioned early on, I want to read one other statement since I'm over here in the 8th chapter. Look at the 8th chapter, verse 13. We said in the very beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But listen to what is the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, the forward mouth, do I hate. That's what fearing God is. Having an attitude about the things that are wrong in life, the things that are not as they should be. And so how do we discipline ourselves then to get this job done? That's the question we want to look at. I want you to see, how does a person go about having success in life? There are going to be three conditional statements in the first, let me get back to that chapter. In the second chapter, three conditional statements that are found in verses 1 through 4. And in those verses, we find 10 active verbs. Now think about that. Listen to what the writer says about that. He says in verse 1, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. I want you to see the writer saying, you know what you have to first of all do is you've got to make up your mind that you will to learn about life. You want to know. You have the determination, the desire. I want to know how to live a good life. I know I can make a mess out of it. I can just look around and see people who are shooting in the dark at it and walking in the dark and making a mess of it. I know I can just do what I want. I can make a mess. I don't need any help to do that. But how can I go about doing it right? I've got to will, first of all, to do it. I've got to make up my mind. I want to know what God has said. I want to know what is right. I remember when I determined to become committed to God, I was living out in the world and ungodly, had long hair and long beard and on drugs and alcohol and all those sorts of things, pornography and tobacco and all of that. And I can remember one day at work making up my mind right on the job on the assembly line, I'm going to do what is right. I don't know what right is. A fellow talked to me and I made my mind up, I'm going to do what's right. Now, I didn't know where to go, but I made my mind up, you see. That's what repentance is. It's the will to want to do what is right. Repentance is changing your mind and saying, listen, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do it. And I tell people, when I went to the church building to be baptized, this preacher talked to me. He introduced himself, said, I'm Ken Green. I said, well, I'm Gary Sandusky, and I'm here to be baptized and stuff like that. Now, I didn't know what all the stuff was, but I knew that I wanted to do what it was. And so he thought I was a nut. He didn't want to baptize me. I had to come back that next Wednesday night, that next Sunday, and I went up on the invitation, and I knew he didn't want to baptize me. I could tell that by talking to him after services. He thought I was just some kind of a nut off the street, and he was right about that. But he said, what do you want? I said as loud as I could, I'm here to be baptized and stuff like that. He said, okay, hush up. We'll get that taken care of. But you see, I had made my mind up. I was going to find out what right was, and I didn't care what right was. I didn't care. I just wanted to know what it was and do it. Now, when you make up your mind to that, you're on the road, good people. You've met the first conditional statement of being on the road to success. But notice number 2 in verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now, notice here's somebody who's crying out for it. They're saying to people, hey, listen, I'm going to make a decision here. The proverb writer will say, in the abundance of wisdom, the abundance of counselors, there is wisdom. And so what I do when I've got to make some serious decision is I find people that I think know something about it, and I ask them, hey, what about this right here? I'm trying to make a decision here. I cry out to people. I tell people, look, I don't know. And the proverb writer tells us, if you are wise in your own eyes, you're a fool. If you ever think you know it, you don't know anything. You're as blind as a bat if you think you know it. You don't know anything until you realize I need to listen to what God says and find some people who care about me, who will give me good counsel and cry out. And I mentioned in the Bible class that I've always told people, if I make a mistake, just tell me. And if I'm doing something wrong, let me know. And as a result, you know what I get all the time? I am bombarded with criticism. But you know what that does to me? That makes me I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better husband. So I say, honey, am I doing something wrong? When I was on a job, it used to blow my boss away. I said, what can I do to be a better employee? He said, are you crazy? I said, no, I want to be better. He said, well, I'd be glad to tell you some things you could do. But you know, that shocks people. But we need to cry out to people. And if people sense that you are not interested, and if they try to tell you something and you just resent it, you know what they do? They shut the doors of communication. So you have got to open the doors to everybody because somebody's got information you need. And especially is that true, good people. And that's why what I'm telling you doesn't rest on what my education ability is and what my ignorance about everything is. It rests on what you can put your finger on in the book of God. And when you learn that is how to figure out what life is about, and you cry out for that, somebody says, say, what does the Bible say about this situation? I want to know what the Bible says about that. If you cry out for that and meet that condition, you've taken the second step to the road to success. And then notice the writer says in verse 4, if thou searchest for her as silver, and I see her silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. You know, in the book of Job, in the 28th chapter, Job talks about where can wisdom be found. And you know what he says? It's just like men. He said, you know where they found the ores and all the valuable gold and silver and all that? You know where men get that? Years ago, they found, the Vol trackers found this stack of diamonds on the ground in Africa. It's about 2 foot high like that, a mound of diamonds. And they didn't know what it was. They walked through there. These Africans walked there and kicked it, and all these diamonds just scattered. And there was a mountain of diamonds, the height of the Empire State Building underneath of that. But they had to dig down the depth of the Empire State Building to get those diamonds out of the ground. And what you need to learn about wisdom is it takes time to do it. You've got to sit down on the seat of your britches or your skirt or whatever and open the Bible and spend time looking at it and digging it out. Oaring out, because the real treasures are not laying on the surface. Good people, the wisdom and treasures of knowledge are hidden in Christ, the Bible says, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. So that means we've got to do some digging. You know, young people know that about school, don't they? They know if I want to get a good grade in school, I've got to do some digging. I've got to figure. I can remember when I first time I took geometry, I thought, what in the world is all this about? This is a world I've never been in before. And I thought, I'll never figure this out. You know, I got to where I like that. I enjoyed it. And I'm going to tell you, God is the same way. The more you dig, the more you learn, the more you meditate, the more you love, and the more consumed, and the more joy, and the peace of mind, happiness, and all the outcomes of what you ought to be, it just starts growing out of you. And people love you, and you love them, and God loves you, and you love God. Because you had the ability to dig in and find out what it was about. But notice, after the writer says that, notice what's said in verse 5. He says, then, so you do the work, and when you've done the work, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Can you see how is God going to protect you in this world? What's God going to use to guard you? The Bible teaches that He's guarding us and protecting us and watching us. How does He do it? He does it with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I'm sure you understand those are three levels of learning. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. You're accumulating information right now. Hopefully you're getting something that maybe you didn't know. Maybe you've already got all this down. But you accumulate information. And then understanding is the ability to understand, to comprehend that information. And wisdom is the ability to figure out how do you put the pieces together and make something out of it. I tell people when I went to school, they taught me power square. I think it's, 3.14, something on down the line. And I know it has something to do with a circle. But you know what? It's never washed my car. It's never paid my taxes. I don't know what you do with it. I know the facts, but it don't make any sense to me because I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. And so we need to see that we need to have these qualities by listening to what God has to say and meeting these 10 active verbs. So that's how you have success. You cry out for sound wisdom, you see. And you obtain these treasures and these blessings that are found here if you meet these active verbs. And if you do, you have the desire, the will to want to know, the attitude, and you ask for it and you work, seek it, and then you wait. Because when you've done that, then God says, but you can't have it before. We want the ability to live a good life before we've done that. And we can't do that, good people. And so what is the writer helping us see here? God will give direction, protection, and life's journey. When you go through life, the journey, these qualities, good people, they'll protect you. They'll help you. And you won't make a big mess and get to be 35 years old and be through three divorces and addicted to some kind of a worldly thing and trying to figure out how did you get in this mess? Well, these things protected you. You started out as a young person listening and paying attention, crying out. So here, now notice the ultimate source of where this comes from. Look at what verses 6 through 8 tell us about this. When the writer tells us about this information that we should have, he says in verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. You see where it comes from? Verse 7, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. And notice these terms. And if you've noticed this, every time you find one of them, you find all three of them together in the Bible. If you find the word knowledge, wisdom, understanding, keep watching, you'll find all three of them. There are three levels of learning. And you find them together over and over throughout the Bible. Well, when you look at the prayers in the New Testament about praying for the perception to see it right, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, Ephesians 3, you'll find in those prayers, these terms are there. God wants us to see it right. He wants us to get it right. And knowledge is the sight, the ability to see and accumulate information, you see. Wisdom is the insight into that information and how to put it together and make something out of it and to plot and plan a course with a skill for life. Understanding is the foresight. To be able to make the ability to look out in the future and think about what these things are going to do, the way I'm living, my attitude, my friends. You know, you're a lot of what your friends are. Your attitudes are a lot from what you've gotten from your friends. And we saw that in the first chapter. I wish we could have went all those charts and noticed how if we turn that thing upside down at a chart where we turn it upside down where most people, that's where they live life. God, the Lord gets a little bit of their life. And then their parents gets a little bit more. And their peers, they get more than their parents and the Lord gets that influence them. And then the conclusion, the decisions they make are based on what their peers say. And the consequences of evil are monstrous in their life. And their life is dissolved and destroyed because of that. You can't turn life upside down. You've got to build the foundation the way God says and listen to God. And when you do, you'll see that this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will preserve you and give you a life of joy and peace. So where do these abilities... Why are these abilities so valuable? Well, notice the writer tells us, listen to what he says about that. When you think about him saying what they will do to you and how they will help you in verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant on thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. So here are the guards and the protectors. And what are they guarding us from? Have you ever thought about what we need protection and guarding, being guarded from? There's two things in the world that can destroy us. And this information that God gives, and the understanding about that, and the wisdom to use it right, good people, God is telling us how to succeed in life. This is the way to go about it. Here's the tools for the trade of life. Listen to what God is saying to you. Now, that's the problem. Have you ever noticed how we do when we talk to people? I say quite often, sometimes my wife, she'll draw out her sword and whack on me and say, you did this and that. And you know, she's right about that. And what I do is I want to draw my sword out. I want to whittle back on her. But I know that's not going to help me. So I put my sword up and I listen to her. And you know what we've learned a long time ago about communicating is that I'll say, now, honey, you tell me what I'm doing wrong. And she'll tell me. And then I'll say, now, let me repeat that back. And so I'll start telling her what I thought she said. She said, you didn't hear a thing I said. And you know, she's right because I was loading my guns when she was talking, you see. And that's what we do with people. We don't listen. We don't pay attention. And as a result, we miss and we have to be told over and over. And you know what frustrates parents? When they have to tell a child over and over and over. And I've said to my children when they were young, there were two things I knew. We lived in a neighborhood where I told my boys, I know how to whistle real loud. I said, when I whistle, I said, you better be in this yard in about 10 minutes. I said, now you learn when Dad calls, if I call your name at any time, you stop. I don't care if you got your finger in the dam and the city is about to be flooded. You pull your finger out and come where I tell you. You come when I tell you. And when I start talking, you listen. You pay attention because I'm going to do that to you. And I said, we want things to be repeated to make sure we get them because we're not very good at listening. And if we could see the value and the importance of listening to what God says and to take this information and to wait as we go through life, because God is going to deliver us from two kind of people in the world. And listen to what the writer says in this chapter about that. He says in verse 12, what will this information do for you? To deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leaveth the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked And they forward in their past. You know, I've got a lot of illustrations and stories I tell about light and the value of it. And here's a picture of somebody who loves darkness and evil, and they like to twist things and get them messed up. And I tell you, you live in a world of people like that. And you know, if you live in the dark, I've told for many years about a friend of mine I went to visit years ago, and I knocked on his door at 2 o'clock in the morning, and nothing happened, so I knocked again. And all of a sudden, I heard this loud, and it was shattering and noise. All this, and I thought, what in the world is going on in the house? Sound like somebody got killed. And so finally, my friend Terry opened the door. I said, Terry, what in the world happened? I said, I knocked on the door, and it sounded like somebody got killed in the house. He said, well, I didn't want to turn the lights on and wake up the family. So he said, I started toward the door in the dark. And he said, I didn't know the cat was laying in the living room floor. He said, I stepped on the cat's tail. He jumped up and clawed me, and I screamed and jumped up and hit the chandelier and busted all that glass. He said, I like to kill myself coming to the door. He said, let me tell you, don't run around in the dark. You see what I'm saying? If you don't listen to God, you're running around in the dark. You don't know what life's about. You can't figure it out. And there are people that are wiser than you who want to destroy you. And unless you listen to God, the way of evil men will finally catch up with you. And we didn't spend a lot of time in the first chapter looking at the whirlwind and the storm. Let me tell you, there's a storm waiting on you out there. And there's some wicked person who wants to bring you down. And if you don't have the insight and the wisdom to know that, God cannot protect you from the disaster that a person like that can bring to your life. But not only that, look at verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, the immoral woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her husband and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Her house inclineth unto death. Her paths unto the dead. None that goeth unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And so the writer's just helping us see, good people, that's how God preserves us and carries us down the road. And if we don't listen, and if we don't pay attention, I'm going to tell you, I know it would be a stretch of my imagination to think that you might be here today and you've heard these things and you know your life's a mess and you need to do something right now. I would love to think there's somebody here and you realize you're on the wrong track. You got the wrong attitudes about things. And you've only got one life. And you're having a hard time trying to figure out how in the world can you balance this thing out. It might be you're here today. And I haven't talked about the gospel much. But I said in Colossians 2 verse 3 that all the wisdom and treasure of knowledge are hidden in Christ. And the gospel is the power, you see. The information that you need to lead you and to draw you to God and to save you from yourself and from sin and from this wicked world you live in. And it might be that you're here and you're humble enough and you're wise enough to say, okay, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to flip the switch in my mind of repentance. I tell people repentance just means to change your mind. That's what it means. I tell people that's easy to do. My wife can change my mind 100 times in one day. She knows how to do that. It's not hard. You just have to be humble enough to say, okay, I need to flip the switch and I need to change the way I think. And then have a desire to confess your allegiance to Jesus. To say, He's the Son of God and He died for me. He loves me. And He chose death for Himself to give me life. I like to tell that story about the airplane crash in, what was it, 80? I forget the date, 82, when that plane landed in the waters of Potomac, that icy water, and we all sat in our living rooms at night watching a helicopter flying over that plane crash. People were swimming in the icy waters, and there was a man swimming around, and a helicopter was trying to drop a cable down to him, and that cable was blowing, and that man kept swimming over to the cable, and he'd catch hold of the cable, and he would swim over, and he'd give the cable to somebody else and hook it on him, and he would let go, and they would hoist that person up to safety. And they would drop it down again. The wind would blow. And he would swim over and get the cable. He would take it over. And he would hook it on somebody else. And he would let go. And we watched the helicopter pull five people out of the freezing water. Then the camera zoomed down, if you remember, into the water. As we saw that man, finally the cold water overcame him. And he sank and died. Now somebody thinks, why would somebody do something so crazy? You know why? He realized the value of people. He realized the importance of people. He was willing to give his life for somebody else. Now I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done. He chose death for himself, so that you could have an abundant life. He's offering you life instead of death. And if you're humble enough today, and it might be that today, I always like to think there's somebody here who's that humble, who's heard this information, and wants to get on the right side of it. You can come this morning, and you can be baptized. Have your sins washed away. And you can set out on the journey that leads to eternal life. If you're here and accept the invitation anyway, why don't you come as we stand and sing the song to encourage you.
Restore my spirit, Lord. I need restored. My heart is weary. Please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more.